If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn and I am your host. I have with me today, Emily McGill.
Hello, quite
an individual. After nearly a decade and a half working in the entertainment in New York City as an expert communications and consultant and Broadway publicist, amassing 20 Broadway credits, Emily lost her grandmother in 2014. This was a huge brick. Emily tells it as follows. Shortly after my grandmother died, my journey towards self-awareness, healing, and spirituality, aka my magic, began. I was recommended a therapist to help me work through the grief. And unlike many who have to date around to find the right person, it was the perfect match from the outset. I didn't understand it at the time, but her magic is palpable and allowed me to play in my own. Working with my therapist to uncover and heal decades of wounding, trauma, and self-perpetuating stories, I discovered a deep well of magic within myself, a power whose force seemed impossible, and yet there it was, ready for me to tap into whenever I needed it. Emily became a tarot reader and storytelling strategist. Her passions are unlocking the magic in others, amplifying unheard voices, inner and outer, what we here at Whispers and Bricks call the whispers, offering platforms for open dialogue and creating meaningful experiences while cultivating community. She's the founder of The Pink Tank, a women's group integrating the personal and the professional, and co-founder of Snob, not what you think, but Sunday Night on Broadway, a monthly Broadway industry dance party. She's also a member of PR collective Spiral 5, and a co-author of the signature course, The Career Rebel's Guide to Modern PR. Currently in development is Emily's The Broadway Tarot. Emily has expanded out to other forms of entertainment, including music, film, TV, streaming, and worked with companies large and small from Disney, HBO, and Amazon Studios to boutique talent agencies, internet startups, nonprofits, and string quartets. Emily invites you to tap into your own magic every time you choose how to express yourself in the world. And she'd love to play with you on your journey, whether through a tarot reading or storytelling magic. Please help me welcome Emily McGill.
Thank you so much, Ari. Thank you so much for having me here. It's such a delight to be connecting with you.
Oh, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I have a little bit of a sinus infection, so I'm going to apologize in advance to your audience for any nasal sounding tones okay. And the hacking up of a lung you might catch every now and again.
Oh, that's okay. Your bubbly personality will certainly more than cover for all of that.
Thank you.
I know that just talking to you, just seeing you makes me smile, and that is so important, and I love it. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Okay. Now, as you know, the name of the podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling you what the right thing to do is, and they represent the good in life. The bricks represent the bad things that we go through life. And we all know life's not a straight line. There are many ups and downs, many bumps in the roads. I don't know anybody that hasn't been hit with some sort of a brick in their life at one point in time or another. So it's out there. It's the question of how we deal with it. And you know, how to get around it. So let's start with this. First of all, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go Steelers, even though I don't give the NFL my eyeball dollars any longer. can't do it.
I hear you.
But yes, I grew up in Pittsburgh and, you know, was introduced to the arts at a very young age. And loved it, but always dreamed of moving to New York and working on Broadway. And
wow. Did you go to college?
I did. I went to school in Pittsburgh, a college called Point Park. They have a pretty big musical theater program, which is what I studied. Uh-huh. So I have a degree in singing, dancing, and acting.
You know, it reminds me of my daughter when she got one of her, when she was in high school. Mm-hmm. And she got a report card And it was really funny because she wasn't the most studious of kids. School was a necessary evil for her. Uh-huh. And I'll never forget. I don't know how it came up, but when my older daughter was taking AP this and AP that, my younger daughter came back and she had on a report card. It said she had AP lunch.
That's amazing.
Ricky, what is AP lunch? She goes, I don't know, but I got it.
Hey.
So that was funny. So yeah, exactly. Okay. So let's get down to it. How did you break into Broadway?
When I was 3 years old, my parents put me in dancing school. A friend of my grandmother's owned a studio, so they put me in classes, and my brother followed a couple of years after me, and he is incredibly talented as well. He's a Broadway choreographer. But at that point, I just loved, you know, being on stage. I loved dancing. I really enjoyed it. And then when I was about 12 years old, we discovered a musical theater program in Pittsburgh. And so we started taking classes there, and I fell in love with the idea of storytelling through the arts and creativity. You know, a lot of the dancing I had done up until that point, I loved so much because I enjoyed the actual dancing, but there was rarely a story involved because we did a lot of competition dancing, right? So it was like short little, you know, two minute numbers that you would do on stage, and or you were prepping something for the recital. It wasn't really like a narrative story. And when we found musical theater and started practicing that and kind of getting voice lessons and acting lessons and weaving it all together, I fell in love with it, and I just had to be part of the Broadway community. And I didn't know how that was going to happen or when, but it was something that was a dream of mine. And so I decided to study theater in college, as I mentioned. But I kind of decided during my education that I didn't want to be a performer. My brother, as I said, is really talented. He made his Broadway debut when he was 17 years old. He was a junior in high school. And I watched what his life looked like when his show closed. He wasn't even out of high school yet. He ended up moving home to Pittsburgh to finish school. And I was like, I don't think I want that life. So I decided to think about how do you get into the business side of it? And I had no idea. So I moved to New York after I graduated from college, and I started auditioning because I had to do it for a year. I had to give it a try.
Right.
But during that time, I was introduced to someone who was working in a producer's office. And I was like, you don't need an intern, do you? And she said, no, do you want to be one? And that was Megan Larsh opening the door for me, welcoming me into the community to start finding my own way. And so I interned on the very first Broadway show I ever worked on was Legally Blonde, the musical.
My God. It's one of my daughter's all time favorites.
Yes.
The one who did AP lunch.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny because when I was in high school, you know, my math teacher always called me Elle Woods because I was like maybe your older daughter, a little more studious and like, you know, kind of in all of those AP classes. But I also cared very much as to what I was wearing that day. And like everything was well coordinated. So she always would tease me and call me Elle Woods. So it felt like a fitting beginning to my Broadway career.
Wow. Wow. So you spent 15 years on Broadway, right?
Yeah, working in and around. So I wasn't actually on Broadway. I was not a performer in the show.
Right. Yeah. But when I say you were in the industry.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. But it's just easier to say you spent 15 years on Broadway, amassing 20 credits.
Yes.
And, you know, it looks like, you know, the sky's the limit here. And then you get hit with this huge brick. Your grandmother passes away. So first and foremost, tell us about your relationship with your grandmother.
Mm-hmm. We were really close. So my mom is the youngest of three, and her older sister, who she was very close with, who actually today, November 8th, when we are recording this, is her anniversary of her passing. She was killed in a car accident that also nearly killed my mother.
Oh, wow.
In 1979. And when I was born 6 years later, my grandmother told my mom, "You brought my Judy back." So she really felt like there was a connection between my aunt and myself.
Wow.
And my aunt was her oldest child. So there was a really deep connection. And, you know, when I was very young, she babysat me a lot to the point when I was 5 years old, Ari, and I could count to 21, she taught me how to play blackjack so that she had someone to play blackjack. I was five.
That is great.
And we would play with pennies.
Wow. Wow. And you know what? I love you. I love your grandmother already.
Yes. Yeah. She was amazing. But she was also a really complicated woman. You know, she had a lot of her own traumas, a lot of you know, devastating bricks that had been thrown in her life. Her father passed away when she was two. Her mother was a single mother of four girls growing up, like during the Depression and just after that. So she had a really, really difficult life. And she kind of took that difficulty out on other people a lot because she didn't kind of know what to do with it. She didn't have access to things like therapy.
Right.
And so while we were very close and I cared for her, I love her so much, there was still a lot of difficulty in that relationship and challenge. And I was working on Broadway shows when she passed away. I had just finished working on A Raisin in the Sun starring Denzel Washington.
Yeah, sure.
And we had started a production of a play called This Is Our Youth, which was starring Michael Cera and Tavi Gevinson and Kieran Culkin, like pre his huge Succession, this was like, he was just like Macaulay's brother who just was like a working actor. And it was three of them in the company. And we were like out of town tryouts in Chicago. And she passed in the middle of that. And so it was this like wild, mind-blowing experience because she had had some health scares later in her life, but she seemed like she was doing pretty well. She had recently moved into a home. And
an assisted living place?
Yeah, the fact that she had no longer had her own space, I think it was really beneficial because she was very lonely when she was by herself. And so it kind of took us all by surprise that she passed when she did. And her birthday.
Mind if I ask how old she was?
I think she was 82.
Okay.
Nope. 86, right?
86. Math.
1928. And she died in 2014. So I think she was 26.
86. Yeah. Okay.
So she had lived a long life, you know, it wasn't totally surprising, but it was a little surprising because her health had been doing better than it had been.
Right.
But I had also just made it home that 4th of July weekend. She died July 15th. And I had just gone home and I hadn't seen her in a while before that. And so I think she was kind of like hanging on waiting for me.
Right.
But it was, you know, we had a great time. We had a beautiful visit. And then I was there 3 weeks later for her funeral.
Yeah.
Which was pretty crazy.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say that she was hanging on. My grandmother was actually, she'd gotten sick and my niece was getting married. Mm-hmm. And literally we were, you know, wondering, you know, is she going to pass before, during, after, you know, we just didn't know. And she was hanging on and you know, the wedding was taking place and we went to the wedding and we got home at, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Uh-huh. And then at 8:30 in the morning, we got a call from a hospital that she had passed. So she waited. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to disturb our party and, you know, the wedding, you know, she didn't want that. She didn't want her death to be part of that, you know?
Right.
So she literally waited. That's what we believe. She literally waited until the morning. And then that's when she passed. So very, very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, it's crazy because she was born, died, and was married on the 15th of different months.
Oh, wow.
And so, that's weird. Yeah. So after she passed, I got, I had always wanted a Roman numeral on my shoulder. And so I got a 15 tattooed for her. So she's always on my shoulder.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you, you talked about in your bio, you talked about decades of wounding and trauma and self-perpetuating stories. You know, tell us about that. What was that all about?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all have wounding from our childhoods that we, you know, as small humans who don't know how to navigate the world, we make up stories in our heads about how we're treated or, you know, why something happens the way it does. And quite often, whatever we think couldn't be further from the truth, but to us, it is our truth. Mm-hmm. And so those sort of self-perpetuating stories that keep us playing small or keep us, you know, continually sort of someone who doesn't maybe own their power might say they find themselves in the same, you know, the same sort of situations over and over again. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they really struggle with a certain type of person or a certain type of situation. And it's like, yes, but what's at the core of that? What's at the base of that? What are the beliefs that you have put in place for yourself that help you find yourself in these situations again and again and again? And how do you change them? Because, right. You know, one of my favorite sort of definitions of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different outcome. And I had that thought myself this morning. I was like, Emily, you need to go do something different today because, you know, these neural pathways, we just got to sharpen this up a little bit. Like we got to create some difference because it's just like, especially after the last 18, 19 months that we've all spent surviving this global trauma that we're right. existing, you know, like we're moving through it right now. Our neural pathways get so sort of, I don't know, deep and like we need to start creating new ones. So thankfully through my therapy experience and, you know, the work that I've been doing in the last 7 years in therapy, I've had the opportunity to kind of have someone help me excavate some of those stories and really look at the core of them and why I believe the things that I do or believed the things that I did and how to sort of break out of those moments of playing small.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever get to a point so low that you said to yourself, you know what? I give up. I quit. Forget about my dreams. I don't care. I'm going to crawl up into a little ball and lay on my bed and that's it. And I'm done. I mean, did you ever get that low? And if you did, how did you get out of it? How did you raise yourself up?
Yeah, I was close to there just before the pandemic hit.
Wow.
In January of 2020, I had my... after having worked on Broadway shows for, like I said, almost a decade and a half, and I had gone out to be a Broadway specialist at a pretty traditional PR agency. So I was their in-house Broadway expert. We got new leadership in there. So I moved on after that and started my own business. excuse me. And the January 2020 was the best month financially I had had in my business to date. And it was the worst just like experience of my life. Wow. I was working with a client that was incredibly difficult, that had very unrealistic expectations. I didn't know how I found myself where I was. I was like, how did I make all the turns to get to this place that I am that I don't want to be? And I was not really sure where I was headed. I was not really sure how I was going to pay rent. I was not really sure what was going to come after this month of like not liking what I was doing in my life. And then 6 weeks later, we had a global pandemic. And so it was really crazy, Ari, because I was already in this place of like, where am I going? Like I was already questioning so many things that so many people had to sit with during the pandemic. I feel like I had like a jump start on some of that homework. You know what I mean? Because I was like, okay, we're all doing this together now. I don't have to do this by myself. Excellent. Great. I'm glad the rest of the class decided to show up. I'm happy for my homework. Okay. So here's what I've got so far, friends, right? Like that's kind of how I felt about it, that I felt like I was in this place and then all of a sudden, so was everyone else. And I think that sense of community of you are not alone. You are not experiencing this alone. We all are sort of in a state of total confusion and chaos. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while for the order to come from the chaos. It always comes. It just might take a little longer than we want it to. And I think that's kind of what happened for me. You know, it gave me an opportunity to really review. I had, like you said, this singular dream of working on Broadway. And then after 15 years of having done it, it's like, what next? Like, what is the next dream? I don't know. I had no idea what my next dream in life was as far as my career went. You know, I do, of course, have dreams of like partnership and family and things like that. But like for my career, I really didn't know what it was. And that's always been a very defining sort of like essence of my identity for myself for a long time was my career. And then, you know, to be sort of disillusioned with where I found myself. And then on top of that, having your entire industry shut down for almost 18 months when live entertainment and Broadway couldn't happen.
Right.
There was so much creativity and so much cool stuff that was created on the internet. And, you know, I worked with some amazing people who had been doing hybrid events for a decade by then. So they were well prepared to jump in and start, you know, start helping people get their stories online, you know, theater companies doing their thing, right? Like they're excellent at that. But also I had a lot of time to sit at home and say, well, what else do I love? Where else lights me up? Like what other aspects of my life give me joy beyond Broadway?
Right. Right. And that's where the whispers come in, you know, your journey towards healing your own life. I guess it led you to discover some deeper truths about yourself, about your life, absolutely, and about the life that we all share.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's just amazing. So like, what are you doing with yourself now?
Yeah. So, I now call myself a recovering Broadway publicist. And the recovering part is ongoing. but I am currently working on a fun off-Broadway holiday show. It's called A Sherlock Carol. It's a mashup between A Christmas Carol and Sherlock Holmes. And it's really fun and sweet. It's at New World Stages here in New York. So that's been keeping me pretty busy lately. But I'm also, as you said in the intro, working on my Broadway tarot deck. I've been creating that with a dramaturg over the last year, and now I found an illustrator. So we're starting to get moving, which is really exciting.
Wow.
I'm building my own and writing my own tarot deck and, you know, doing as many tarot readings as I can. I have a Friday show with my best friend called Pause for the Cause, where on Instagram, you know, we talk about cannabis reform and prison reform and tarot, and she does some comedy and, yeah, just trying to, you know, do as much tarot as I can, because right now that's what lights me up the most.
Wow. So it's nice. You know, it's very important to do something that you really like, mm-hmm, obviously, you know, otherwise you'll drive yourself crazy, which you've done in the past, as we've heard. look, I've been there, done that. Okay. So mm-hmm, I don't think, and that's the beauty of this program, is that there are people out there, believe it or not, who are just like you, that have gone through or are going through the same stuff that you went through and are going through. Mm-hmm. All right. And they all think they're alone, and they're not. All right. Nope. There are people out there just like them that going through the same thing. And this kind of a program, you know, gives them hope, because they said, well, if she can do it, I can do it. You know, we can get it. And that's great. So Before we go, all right, any words of wisdom you'd like to share with my audience?
I have to keep reminding myself that everything I need, I already have. And everything I have is all that I need. There's a really great mantra. There are a couple of folks on TikTok that have some really great mantras that, that, you know, get sent my way sometimes. And so if you find yourself on TikTok, some of their mantras are really great. But that one in particular, that anything you need, you already have within yourself, like every single thing is that already is, there.
That is amazing. That, can I use that? I mean, that, sure. That is fabulous. That is absolutely fabulous. Brilliant words of wisdom. Really? No, I'm going to use that. So let me ask you this. If people want to get in touch with you, what would be the best way for them to do that? Do you have a website? Do you have an email?
My website is emilymcgillentertainment.com. It's very long when you type it out. I'm sorry in advance. And my Instagram is Emily Ann MCG, and that's Ann E.
Okay.
Those are the two places that I hang out the most on the internet. So that's where you'll find me easily.
Awesome. Emily, thanks so much for sharing your story with my audience. Good luck going forward. You were great. You made me smile. You brought a smile to my face, and I always love that. Your smile and your laugh is electrifying. I mean, it's unreal. You know, really good luck going forward. Stay in touch with me. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Irie Showman. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.